It's time now for Dining and Destinations. Listen to views and interviews about food, travel, and the good life. And now, here's your host, Barry Reisman.
Hey, we have a very, very interesting guest who is on the line all the way in the United Kingdom right now. And we're going to find out today about Projects Abroad, what it is, what it does, who it's for, where it goes. We'll be with our guest in just a moment here at WNWR in Philadelphia. This first quarter hour of Dining and Destinations is being brought to you by the Short Hills Restaurant and Deli. And if you're looking for great food and reasonable prices and a terrific atmosphere, you are going to love coming into Short Hills. They've got it all for you. Full course dinners, huge sandwiches, great Sunday brunches. Everything on the menu is available for takeout, and you're going to love their prices too. They're at 486 Evesham Road. That's in the Short Hills Town Center in Sherry Hill. Come on in. Tell them that you heard about it here at WNWR on Dining and Destinations. They will be delighted to meet you and to see you and to feed you. The Short Hills Restaurant and Deli. Well, on the line with us right now, all the way in the United Kingdom, is Dr. Peter M. Slow, who is the founder and director of Projects Abroad. Dr. Slow has a bachelor's degree in geography from the University of Bristol and a doctorate in philosophy from the University of Oxford. During college, he spent what is called a gap year in India teaching English and cricket at St. Joseph's School, and he spent more than 10 years in academia, serving as a senior lecturer in geography at the University of Chichester, and he's published several books and several academic papers. And right now, we're recording this program, and this, and when it's on the air, I hope that the situation with the volcano has been alleviated. But right now, Dr. Slow is in the UK, and he thought he was going to be in the United States. But you're sort of grounded, aren't you, right now?
Hello, Barry. I'm sorry I'm not sitting in front of you in Philadelphia, which is where I would have hoped to have been. But the Icelandic volcano has kept me grounded here.
Well, hopefully, by the time this gets on the air, the planes will be flying, and you'll be traveling around and able to get where you want to go. But in the meantime, thanks to Alexander Graham Bell, we can do this over the telephone, right?
Absolutely, and I'm looking forward to chatting with you and hopefully telling your listeners a little bit about what we do.
Well, I think what you do is fascinating. So let's first of all ask you, Peter, what is Projects Abroad?
Okay, I set this up way back in the 90s. We send thousands of volunteers all around the world, basically from more developed countries, such as the States or the UK, to the developing world or the emerging nations. And there they do voluntary work, for example, teaching English, for example, in hospitals, for example, in the rainforest, doing conservation work, a whole variety of things, and a very large number now. I think about this year we're sending about 8,000 people away, about 1,000 from the United States.
Wow. What?
But we want more Americans.
All right. Okay. Well, we're going to try to get you a few.
That's great.
But I'm going to ask you. I got a million questions. But what sure. what made you decide to start this whole Projects Abroad thing? Was it something you did?
Yeah, it was something that I did myself. You mentioned I took a gap year back when I was 18 years old. Now, actually, more and more young Americans are doing the same thing. Between high school and going to college, they take some time out, and they really get some great experience for themselves and for their resume, I might say, but also, you know, help others. And it's an amazing combination. I should say right away that you do have to pay to go with us. There is no other way. We get no funding from governments or any other source. But But what you do is you pay to get an amazing experience, and you pay to volunteer to help others.
All right. What are some of the things that a volunteer with Projects Abroad would be doing?
Well, Americans very often help to teach English. English is now the global language, and teachers and assistant teachers all over the world are doing a great job. We had actually a young girl from Philadelphia. She was just 19 years old, and she did an amazing job teaching English down in Argentina, in near Cordoba, where we work, in a little school in Unquillo. Absolutely stunning, and she is kind of local heroine. She's made a big difference to some of the lives of those kids.
Wow.
We also have a lot of work in orphanages, for example, in Ghana and Africa. We work on human rights projects in South Africa. We work in conservation projects in Africa and Asia, a wonderful variety of things. And we have a lot of doctors, nurses, and medical students, and people thinking about being medical students, joining our medical programs at different levels as well. So those are some of the main things that we do.
Is there any type of staff that you have? I know you're the founder and director of Projects Abroad. Do you have a...
We have 400... Sorry to talk across you. We have 400 staff around the world. And, of course, we employ a lot of local people. But it's a kind of, perhaps, a reassurance that the people that we employ are trained either in Britain or the United States or in France, so they can always speak one of the languages of the volunteers who are going out. We always have people out there who speak English. We have a lot of American staff as well who especially join us in the busy summer months, who can... So you'll have people that we directly employ arranging your placement, arranging your work, arranging your housing, and just looking after you and being there as a safety net in case in case you get sick or lose your passport or something like that as well.
Yeah.
So we have a lot of staff. I have a lot of colleagues of all nationalities all around the world.
I'm going to ask you this a couple times during the program, but if somebody wants to get information about Projects Abroad, how do they go about doing that?
Their best plan is to go straight to our website, www.projects-abroad.org. Our U.S. website. And we also have a U.S. office, which is at a free phone number, which is 1-888-839-3535.
Okay, we'll get that from you again. Our guest here at WNWR in Philadelphia on Dining and Destinations is Dr. Peter M. Slow, who is the founder and director of Projects Abroad. We're going to take a quick break. He is currently in the United Kingdom. Yeah, you're from the United Kingdom, I presume, right?
I am indeed, yes.
And you're in London. And you're there right now, and we're going to come right back.
Unfortunately.
Yeah. Is it raining now?
No, it's beautiful, bright sunshine, but actually that's the problem. It's a high pressure which caused the volcanic dust to settle upon us.
Yeah. Well, good luck with all that stuff. Hold on just a moment. We're going to come right back, and we're going to talk some more with our special guest here at WNWR in Philadelphia. Take a short trip to the Short Hills Restaurant and Deli and enjoy all the great food they have in store for you. With a fresh new color scheme of burgundy and gold combined with warm cherry woods, Short Hills is the perfect destination for delectable food in a beautiful atmosphere. For dinner, start out with one of Jerry Kaplan's famous soups, including mushroom barley, cabbage borscht, vegetable, or matzo ball soup. Then choose from ocean fresh seafood, juicy steaks and burgers, tender chicken, or a variety of creative salads. How about a New York-style steamed corned beef or pastrami sandwich or an outstanding smoked fish platter? And they offer full-course dinner specials every Sunday through Thursday evening from 4 to 9. The Short Hills Restaurant, Deli, and Caterers in the Short Hills Town Center at 486 Evesham Road in Cherry Hill. And we're back with our special guest, Dr. Peter M. Slow, founder and director of Projects Abroad. Peter, you mentioned that there is a fee. The people who volunteer sort of have to pay their own way. Can you give me some idea of what costs are involved in volunteering for projects abroad?
Sure. Generally, between, it depends obviously on the particular project, but we can say between $1,000 minimum and about $4,000 maximum dollars, and that's for up to 3 months.
Is that?
You can go for as little as a couple of weeks, or you can go for 3 months. It's less expensive the longer you go in relative terms.
Why do people do this? What do?
Well, because they want to make a difference. When you do this kind of thing, you first of all, you really make a difference to somebody else's life. If you're working there in a hospital or working there in an orphanage, you're really making a difference for those kids or for those patients. Or you're doing work in the rainforest or helping save turtles in Mexico, you know, you're really doing something for wildlife. So that's the first thing. It's incredibly satisfying. The second thing is it makes a difference for you. I mean, you can't imagine a better resume entry for a medical student than I was working, helping out in an operating theater in Nepal during my summer vacation. It's an extraordinarily helpful thing in that way. And finally, it's huge fun. You're with volunteers from all nationalities, you're with local people, and you're really part of a Projects Abroad community, which lives with you for a long time afterwards. And recently, we've even been welcoming many families who've been joining us. So you get, mother, mum, dad, and maybe a teenager, and maybe a younger kid, and they can really work in part of these communities as well. It just kind of works out for everyone. So it's very rewarding.
The people who volunteer, when they go to these different countries, where do they live? They go in a hotel, or where do they live?
Usually they live with local host families. So that's another aspect of the experience.
Uh-huh.
They actually live, and eat and be a part of, a local family. So, you know, it's a good idea if you're going to India if you like curry. It's a good idea if you're going to Peru if you like beans. But we can make special arrangements as well if they want. But usually it's with host families.
Mm-hmm.
Homestays, I should say, in American. Host families is English, isn't it? British English. Homestays.
Yeah, no, that's sure. What if I gave you a magic crystal and I said you could have any wish you wanted as far as projects abroad is concerned, what would it be?
Well, we would like to be sending 5 times the number of Americans. They're great volunteers. We want people who've never heard about doing this kind of thing, not just from Philadelphia, but from California and Florida and all over, to join us. I would like to see it become also, for young people, a regular part of at least everybody's college career, or high school career, that they spend at least 1 month living and working in a developing country. This would make so much difference.
You're so right. I just know people who have done volunteering in different aspects, even locally or even internationally, and it gives you a whole different sense of the world. And I think what your project is really would make a lasting impression on someone. Is it? Are they depressed countries in most cases or areas where the volunteers go?
Well, depressed is a little bit of a loaded word. Let me just say also, in reply to another part of what you just said, that one part of this is also that, of course, people, it's not just you getting an impression of them, it's them getting an impression of Americans as well, which is so favorable and so important. There was, of course, many of the countries that we go to, Senegal in Africa, Nepal in Asia, Mongolia, they are much poorer countries. But depressed implies that the poverty makes them in some way unhappy. It does make them aspiring, and living and working with Americans is something which, you know, helps them clarify their aspirations and come to understand a little bit about the processes of development. I think in that way it's very important. But depressed, no. Poor, usually, and Unhappy? Definitely not.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting observation. I appreciate that. If you hold on one more moment, I have another little break to take, and I have some more questions to ask.
Sure.
Our guest here is Dr. Peter M. Slow, founder and director of Projects Abroad. He is currently in the United Kingdom, and we'll be right back with him in just a moment. This past quarter hour of Dining at Destinations being brought to you by the Short Hills Restaurant and Deli, and we hope you'll come in there. It's South Jersey's premier meeting place. You'll meet your old friends and make some new friends, and while you're there, have some great food, too. Open every day for breakfast, lunch, dinner, snacks, and everything is available for takeout, and they do catering for any occasion. Just give them a call at 856-429-6900, 856-429-6900. The Short Hills Restaurant and Deli and Caterers at 486 Evesham Road in the Short Hills Town Center in Cherry Hill. It's Dining at Destinations. I'm Barry Reisman at WNWR in Philadelphia. By the way, if you'd like to shoot me an email, if you want to hear any particular guests or have any comments, my email address is barry@wnwr.com, barry@wnwr.com. We'll be right back with our guest in just a moment. Wow, check out the incredible deals going on all this month at Subaru of Cherry Hill. With their rock-bottom prices, huge inventory, and knowledgeable employees, it's no wonder that they are New Jersey's largest Subaru dealer. And Subaru of Cherry Hill is now the largest Subaru dealer in the entire Philadelphia market, with financing as low as 0% and big rebates. Along with all of the exciting Subaru models, there's a lot to love at Subaru of Cherry Hill. What else makes them number one? Convenience. They're located on Route 70 in Cherry Hill, just minutes from the bridges. And here's the best part. Subaru of Cherry Hill will not be undersold on any vehicle. Visit them in person or online at SubaruofCherryHill.com or call 856-330-1500. Subaru of Cherry Hill, bigger and better. And back once again with our special guest, Dr. Peter M. Slove, founder and director of Projects Abroad. Peter, would you give us the website again so people can check it out?
Sure. It's www.projects-abroad.org. And the telephone number is free phone 1-888-839-3535.
Give us that number again.
Sure. 888-839-3535.
Are there any particular qualifications for volunteers? Do they have to go through any kind of screening? Are there certain things that they have to do to pass any type of test from your organization?
No, it's an interesting question. And we've found over the years that, you know, tests or qualifications in America or in the United Kingdom, they don't give a very good indication about how good a person's going to be at looking after kids in an orphanage or how good they're going to be helping out nomads in the Gobi Desert. It doesn't really help us very much. And we believe that everybody has something that they can give as a volunteer, and everybody has it within them to make a difference. So, no is the short answer to your question. I should point out that, you know, sometimes youngsters join us in groups or for what we call two-week specials. So if people feel, you know, we have a lot of 16-year-olds who have no obvious qualifications of volunteering, but as a group, they can do wonderful things. We had a group just recently from Pittsburgh who went over and built a whole classroom in Ethiopia, and it was a great project for them.
So besides teaching English, the skills could be building. What are some other skills and things that the volunteers do? I know you mentioned the English and you mentioned building, but what are some of the other things that they may do in these countries?
Sure. Okay. They can do archaeology projects, study with digging up Inca remains in Peru and archaeology in Romania. They can do business projects all around the world, but especially wonderful business projects in China and Mongolia, joining small enterprises or big companies. They can do journalism projects. working with local newspapers and with local young journalists all around in Bolivia, for example. In India, we have our own magazine. In China, we work with local newspapers. We have local sports projects for anybody who can help out. Anybody who can help out with soccer in a township in Cape Town, we're looking for more people for this summer, please. We have law projects for budding lawyers and human rights projects in Africa. We have physical therapy projects, which are very, very popular, sort of specializing among our medicine opportunities, and veterinary medicine for people who are interested in that as well. And if they're not quite up to veterinary medicine, we have a rather milder animal care projects in Africa and also in Mexico. Also, some volunteers join language projects as well, where they can teach their own language, but also at the same time learn a local language, maybe or Spanish or French or Russian or, and so forth. So those are the main things that we do.
How do you go about setting up this relationship with the various countries who will be getting the volunteers and with your organization, with projects abroad? Is it a governmental contact that you have? Or how do you do this?
Never governmental. on the whole, I tend to agree with the Reagan thing that the most frightening words are "we're from the government and we've come to help." It doesn't kind of work in what we want to do. We try to work really at the grassroots with villagers. We set up a wonderful sports project specializing in soccer in Ghana, and we work with the kids who and with their families who were living right there in the slums of Accra, their capital city. And that's the way to do things, is to visit the country and you visit the ordinary people. Obviously, you usually have some kind of contact in the country before you start, but it's never been the president or the prime minister for us.
I'm guessing you get volunteers from all walks of life, wealthy and poor and everything in between.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely, we do. We appreciate that having to pay doesn't help the very poorest people to join us. But we think it's just wonderful when people, especially kids that do horrendous vacation jobs. They go to working in, to me, horrendous, just endlessly stacking supermarket shelves at night, working in gas stations and so forth. And they earn some money and they spend that money trying to improve themselves, trying to help others. I admire them so much.
But, I'll tell you, this sounds so exciting. Before I had you on the air, I really knew nothing about this whole project abroad. But I can just hear from this conversation that there is so much to be gained to, as you said, for the volunteers.
For both sides. It's a win-win deal. And that's what makes it great to work for. I mean, I love working for projects abroad because it's a great thing for everybody. Everybody gets happier when they do it.
Well, I'll tell you what, why don't you give us the information again, the website and the phone number, and anybody who wants to volunteer or even get information, tell us where to go.
Yeah, our website is www.projects, that's projects, abroad, .org for the U.S. website. So www.projects-abroad.org. And our phone number in New York is a free phone, and it's 888-839-3535.
Could you use a radio broadcaster somewhere who wants to volunteer, maybe?
Oh, we absolutely we do in Mongolia.
Okay, I've back up my microphone.
I'll see you there. I'll see you in Ulaanbaatar.
Well, it's been a delight having you on the air. This is something that's very exciting, and I really, really enjoyed our conversation, Dr. Peter. Peter M. Sloan, founder and director of Projects Abroad. Thank you so much for being on the air with us here at WNWR in Philadelphia.
My pleasure.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. see skies of blue and clouds of white, the bright blessed day, the dark sacred night. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. The colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the sky, are also on the faces of people going by. I see friends shaking hands, saying how do you do. They're really saying I love you. I hear babies cry, I watch them grow. They're like much more than I ever knew. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Yes, I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
Hey, I thought that was a great song to play after that conversation. Louis Armstrong on Dining and Destinations at WNWR. Take a short trip to the Short Hills Restaurant and Deli and enjoy all the great food they have in store for you. With a fresh new color scheme of burgundy and gold combined with warm cherry woods, Short Hills is the perfect destination for delectable food in a beautiful atmosphere. For dinner, start out with one of Jerry Kaplan's famous soups, including mushroom barley, cabbage borscht, vegetable, or matzo ball soup. Then choose from ocean fresh seafood, juicy steaks and burgers, tender chicken, or a variety of creative salads. How about a New York-style steamed corned beef or pastrami sandwich or an outstanding smoked fish platter? And they offer full-course dinner specials every Sunday through Thursday evening from 4 to 9. The Short Hills Restaurant, Deli, and Caterers in the Short Hills Town Center at 486 Evesham Road in Cherry Hill.
Tune in again next week for more views and interviews about food, travel, and the good life on Dining and Destinations with Barry Reisman, exclusively on WNWR AM 1540.